Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio, for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, Russ, K5TUX, and Bill, NE4RD.
Well, hello everybody and welcome. You have tuned in to episode number 556 of the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. This is Linux in the Ham Shack, and you have joined us for our short topics episode this time around. We're glad you're here, and we're going to cover some amateur radio, some open source, and some crossover topics that touch a little bit on both. But before we do that, we need to introduce ourselves. For the on assignment, Cheryl, W5MOO, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
Oh, you're eating your mic already.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to do that. It was just fine a few seconds ago.
No, it's fine when you're just not like, I am Bill, I will speak now.
Yes.
I am Bill, hear me roar.
I'm trying to overpower the crickets and everything else in the background here. So,
That's all right. It adds a sort of nice ambiance. As we dive into our first amateur radio topic, which is September being National Preparedness Month, in coordination with our partners at the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and WE, by the way, is ARRL. The ARRL Amateur Radio Emergency Service, ARES, is producing a series of weekly articles to help radio amateurs and their families stay safe. For a ham or any other public safety responder, whether paid or volunteer, it is not uncommon to be called out to provide assistance during disasters. We often do not know when we will be called or what exactly the call will involve. We also do not know how long we may be deployed. In the last edition, we focused on our Go Kit and the tools we would have to deploy as an amateur radio volunteer. But we have made sure our family is prepared for these times, whether we are deployed or will be staying home. But have we? Okay, let me roll that back. But have we made sure our family is prepared for these times, whether we are deployed or will be staying home? As the theme of this month suggests, ARRL Director of Emergency Management, Josh Johnston, KE5MHV, says it comes down to being prepared. Quote, make a plan with your family and ensure basic supplies are available, including water, food, and first aid capabilities. Do you have a generator or alternate power capability? And do your family members know how to use it? Have a communications plan, including backup communications with family members and friends, he said. Johnston says to ensure your family knows where to go if they must evacuate for some reason. Always remember your family and your health and safety should always come first. Well, hopefully the nearest bar is still standing because that's where I'm going. We just had a hurricane come through, and we saw basically none of it. So,
You're a little bit inland, right?
Yeah, just a touch inland. But I do like when hurricanes come up here because we get a little rain, it cools things off, stuff like that. We just get a sort of nice little drizzle as opposed to the people like in New Orleans Parish who rode the full wave on that one. Never good down there since it's below sea level. And speaking of disaster preparedness, hopefully they were all prepared.
Yeah, hopefully.
Anyway, let's move on, unless you had something you wanted to editorialize about that first story.
No, obviously if we're touching on these things, it's a light amateur radio month.
Kind of a light everything month. I was scouring the internet trying to find content for this show, and it was coming up empty. So, but anyway, we do have some news on AMSAT, so we'll let you cover this one.
This is the 42nd annual AMSAT Space Symposium and annual general meeting is coming up here It's going to be held Friday through Saturday, October 25th through the 26th, 2024, at the Doubletree by Hilton, Tampa Rocky Point Waterfront in Tampa, Florida. That's a long name for a hotel. So the Doubletree by Hilton in Tampa. The highlights of all the scheduled events include AMSAT Board of Directors meeting, which will be held October 24th through the 25th. The 42nd the Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, which will be the 25th through the 26th. The Friday Night Social and Auction will be on October 25th. The AMSAT Banquet and Reception will be on October 26th. And the AMSAT Ambassador Breakfast, which all are welcome to attend, is on October 27th. So if you have plans to be in or around Tampa at that time, you know, it might be an interesting event to attend, especially if you're big into satellite communications and want to kind of be included in, you know, discussions or, you know, the latest, greatest news, and you're not catching it from us or, you know, the news bulletin that they put out every week at AMSAT. But yeah, this is a conference coming up next month.
All right, very good. You know, it's a light news week when we're talking about time sensitive things, because
we said we were never doing these time sensitive things, and it was like, yeah, we always fall back onto them when the news gets light.
Yeah, that's all right. Sometimes it happens. And guess what? The next one's time sensitive as well. Jamboree on the Air and Jamboree on the Internet, Jota and Jyoti, are coming up. Mark your calendars. It's October 18th through the 20th. Jota Jyoti is the world's largest digital and radio scout event. See, I'm doing the scout stuff now. Jeez. Promoting friendship and global citizenship. You can join Jota Jyoti either by registering individually or by connecting with a local scout group participating in the event. Register your group activity on jotajyoti.info. Link, of course, in the show notes. And get your JID. I have a JID. Do those carry over? Like, you just need one?
No, you have one every year.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have to get a new JID. Well, it's 18th through the 20th, so yeah, that should be good. Post your photos and videos on social media, tag at @Jota_Jyoti, and use #JotaJyoti to get featured. Ooh. And of course, links to jotajyoti.org and Bill's organization, KDBSA, will be in the show notes if it hasn't been beaten into your head already. So
yeah, they've been I thought they were a little slow getting the patch information out, because I had to contact the scout shop and everything else, say, hey, where's the patch at? I got a lot of people still asking about it, and finally got some like advanced information that I put on the K2BSA site about how to get the patch, how to order it if it's not up on the scoutshop.org website. And then I realized I looked at my post from last year, and I was like ahead by a week or two. So I was like, oh, so maybe they always kind of wait till September to give us that bit of news so people can start ordering their patches and stuff just about a month out. So should probably take a notice of these dates, because I start getting emails in July and August for the patch, and it's like, yeah, it's not out. And half the time the Jota Jyoti site is not updated yet for the current year, because they haven't finalized all the plans over there as well either. But the website for jotajyoti.info, which I typed it wrong there, but I know I got it right in the notes, has all the stuff you need to register, as a ability to search other stations and stuff like that. It doesn't give you any like geolocating information, so it's not like you can see them all on a map, which is unfortunate. I know we've been asked, the K2BSA has been asked in the past to do the registration, but since it's not a K2BSA event, it's a national, world organization of scout movement event. It's important that they do all that and they manage all that, because, you know, they are the ones that provide the JID or the JAMPUS ID for the registration. And also, they have a whole bunch of other resources and stuff like that for the internet side of the activity. So it's not just a radio event, and you can definitely incorporate all the internet things in your radio event and kind of make it a true hybrid event. So take a look at that website, get registered, take a look at the resources they have, It's coming up. It's every year. It's no surprise. It's in October, third weekend. I believe it. There is a contest in Germany for that has allocations that says they can't be in the bands, the upper edges of the general portions of the HF band. So those shouldn't be a problem. Just make sure you're not all on the same frequency, calling CQ Jamboree on the air. And I did hear one recommendation from someone said you shouldn't call CQ Joda anymore because it sounds too much like Poda or Soda because of all the OTAs that are going on. So, maybe go ahead and do that full CQ Jamboree on the air, CQ Jamboree on the air, just to make it clear what station you are and people aren't looking for your park identifier. Or just do both at the same time. Hey, how about that? A Joda, Soda, Poda all at once. Give all the
you
IDs.
Might be able to get away with just Jamboree because I think it's the only one.
Yeah.
So, CQ Jamboree is pretty easy.
Yep, that works out perfect.
All right. Well, I know you had a bit of an editorial segment there, but it is your turn to read the next segment, which is open source related. So I'll let you get to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is Pop! OS 2404 and New Cosmic Desktop Reach Alpha. System 76 has just released Alpha 1 of the Pop! OS 2404. It's the company's remix of the Ubuntu Noble Numbat with its own in-house ground-up desktop environment, codenamed Cosmic, and implemented in Rust. Sorry. The result is a new and incomplete, the result is a new and incomplete desktop running on top of a fairly stable and mature OS. Some parts are still missing, and we saw some occasional, we meaning the people at the register, we saw some occasional but repeatable app crashes, but it's usable if you are patient. As you might expect from a company which shipped a GNOME-based desktop for 6 years or so, the new Cosmic is strongly reminiscent of GNOME, a little like elementary OS's Pantheon desktop. It has mostly empty top panel and dock-like launcher at the bottom center, neither based on GNOME code. The result resembles GNOME Shell from a few years ago. It's looking good, and it's looking promising, and their move to Rust and everything else for the Cosmic desktop is pretty cool, so it's going to be performant. We'll just have to wait and see what it's going to be like. So it's in alpha now, so this is a good time to start kind of just testing it and seeing if it's something you're interested in. I'm sure the underlying OS will be fine. it is Ubuntu 2404, so it should be plenty stable and whatnot for that, but do expect some occasional crashing with the windowing stuff.
All right, very good. One of the stories I read today was about the Cosmic Editor, which is part of PopOS's suite of tools, and it was in an article from ZDNet, I think, where they said it was one of the better non-Vi, non-Emacs editors out there. So maybe we need to do a deep dive on editors at some point.
We can do editors that do not include Vi or Emacs. Right.
Exactly.
That way we stay in the other clouds of hate of like Zed and VS Code and Sublime. And
Sublime is proprietary, is it not?
Maybe. I don't know. I can't remember.
I think it is. But anyway, we may not talk about that one. That's okay. But speaking of weird and unstable distributions, Haiku is still around, and a new release is keeping the BOS dream alive. Haiku is a free and open source operating system based on the technical and design foundations of the now defunct BOS project. BOS. Instead of Linux or Unix. After more than a year since the last release, Haiku R1 Beta 5 is now available to download. Haiku is a spiritual successor to BOS. Sounds like something else if you said it really fast. With a focus on a clean and user-friendly design paired with low system requirements. I love the requirements here. Get a load of this. The minimum system requirements are still an Intel Pentium 2, AMD Athlon CPU or better, at least 384 megabytes of RAM. RAM measured in megabytes. Keep that in your head. An 800 by 600 screen, and at least 3 gigabytes of storage. It works on both 32-bit and 64-bit architectures, and the 32-bit version can run many unmodified BOS applications. This release introduces a simplified color selector with an enhanced dark mode. Hey, moving up into the times, dark mode. updates to the Power Status desktop applet, and a few improvements for the Tracker File Manager. This is also the first release for USB audio input and output. Though the blog post says advanced USB 2.0, are we at like 4.0 or something now?
No.
devices are less likely to work. Devs have also put a lot of time into networking improvements for better performance and reliability in the TCP stack. And Haiku now has a TunTap driver for VPNs or other tunneling tools. TunTap for tunneling tools. The R1 Beta 5 release also has many other general performance and reliability improvements. It now uses a FAT file system driver ported from FreeBSD instead of code dating back to BOS. There's also read-only support for the UFS2 file system used in FreeBSD. Many I/O operations have been revamped across the system, and you can download Haiku from the official website. It works well in a VM, like VirtualBox or UTM. The story came from HowToGeek, and a link to that story will be in the show notes, along with a link to where you can download Haiku OS if you want to spin it up in your own VM. Might be worth taking a look at it, just for the heck of it.
Have you ever run BOS or Haiku?
I have run Haiku, and I have run BOS.
Oh, okay. Have you ever run BOS on a PowerPC?
Yes, neither of them recently.
I was about to say, last time I actually used BOS was, probably in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, same time frame for me. So, but it's interesting that the project is still there. I kind of want to go look now and see if what's the Stallman one? The Herd, GNU Herd. I wonder if that's still getting anywhere.
Yeah, that's always been a sort of a... Have you heard about Herd? No.
Heard about it. Never actually seen it in the wild, but...
Yeah, and there's also Ike Dotary's new Serpent OS, I think it's called. You know, he's the one that did started Solus. Was it Solus? Yeah, Solus. I think that's what it is. And so he's doing a new one too, or, you know, he switched from Solus and started doing Serpent, and he disappeared for a while. But I see there's some activity now on Serpent. So, yeah, we might have some new different OSs to try out here in a short while, maybe after the after our little summer break coming up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even have to test Haiku to tell you what its LHS readiness score is. So
we know that one's going to be pretty new.
Yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, this next one has a lot of words, but I did cut it way down from the original. So hopefully it reads okay. And maybe you can do some impromptu cutting as you read. But
okay, we'll give it a try. Six new features in GNOME 47, making it a worthy upgrade. GNOME is a minimal take on the desktop that offers maximum efficiency. Although it might look a bit different to others, it serves the same purpose and can be customized to suit how you work. The new version of GNOME will be released soon, and although it doesn't offer any game-changing features, the desktop does enough improvements to make it a worthy upgrade. That is, unless all of your extensions break because of the upgrade. custom accent colors. Ooh, wow. There's colors. Hardware encoding for the screencast. Okay, well, this is good. This is a significant improvement for video playback for both Intel and AMD hardware. GNOME 47 leverages a video acceleration API. That's the VA API, conversion to hardware. Another addition is the use of direct memory access buffer, or DMA buff, with the explicit modifier API, which results in much improved memory management and data transfer between the CPU and GPU. And that's always welcome because, you know, I've seen some distros and stuff just struggle once you start playing like 4K video and higher. Any improvement in that kind of acceleration is going to be great. New build option for Wayland. Hopefully that's just not in building Wayland. Just kidding. A new build option that enables compiling Mutter, the GNOME compositor, with depending on either X11 or Wayland. This option is used for switching between the two environments. You can have the DX11 equals false and the DX Wayland equals true, and you're off to the races. Better performance. GNOME 47 does a much better job of handling asynchronous processes and jobs. GNOME no longer depends on a slower GNOME virtual file system or GNOME's abstraction layer. An improved default application. Several of the default applications have received improvements, including GNOME and Calendar. Let's see here. What else? The Epiphany web browser now includes... Nobody uses Epiphany. Come on. Oh, boy. There's a new privacy reporting feature. Okay, so if it's a privacy... Never mind. We won't get into that. Network connection management. The network view is revamped with a new network tab introduced in the files sidebar. This new option displays connected devices, previous devices, and available network devices, so users will have an easier time managing the network connections. At the moment, GNOME 47 is in beta, but it will reach stable release candidacy on the 14th of September, which was yesterday. So, hey, should be stable. So the official release should be coming soon. This came to us from ZDNet, and we have some additional links in the show notes to GNOME releases and the GNOME discussion group. So check that out if you're a big user of GNOME, which I think one of my systems is using GNOME and the other one's using KDE. But I don't know. What's your take on it?
I've kind of moved away from GNOME. It was kind of the thing I always used, especially when I was in the Debian verse and the Ubuntu verse.
Yeah.
But now that I've switched over to Manjaro, I have kind of settled on KDE, and that's quite a turnaround for me, because I hadn't used KDE since it was like KDE 3, like way back in the day when you had to do everything manually and like manually enable all the compositors and all that crazy stuff. But now it's so pretty and so seamless and smooth, especially if you, like you do, I do the same, install the sweet icons and all that stuff. It's just like total eye candy, and it's awesome, and I may never go back. So,
yeah. I mean, I have both the same theme and same icons and everything else on both of my machines that are identical ones, but one is running KDE and the other one's running GNOME. And, you know, do I like the KDE one better? Occasionally, except for I use the default Garuda setup, so it puts all the stuff up to the top bar like a Mac does, and I'm just not a fan of that.
Yeah, so you don't have any of that on Manjaro because it keeps everything in the dock. So,
yeah, I haven't quite got to customizing it beyond what the out of the box thing is for at least the setup that the Garuda Dragon, whatever, Dragon something Linux. What do they call it? Dragon
OS.
No, Dragon.
Oh, the Dragonized version?
Dragonized version, yeah. That's what I can think of, the iced. Yeah, the Dragonized version. Yeah, I'm suffering from heat out here. And
we're almost done.
I know. I'm sweating to death, and I'm dying. Florida, you're cursed.
Don't you have a nice, tall, cold IPA next to you or something?
It's a Miller Lite. It's not that exciting.
Well, what the heck? Why is that a thing? Because you didn't go to the store and someone else did?
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. If it were me, it'd be like all highlights and stuff like that. But
exactly. All right. Well, anyway, this next thing in Linux in the Ham Shack is only in here because I couldn't find any topics, and apparently Bill couldn't either. So this is just a little stub to expand on something I mentioned in our deep dive about Wavelog, and that is that we mentioned there's a connector for Rig Control D into Wavelog called CloudLug Rig Control something.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that works. It's a PHP script, and it does the job, but it lacks many features, including being able to be demonized. I mean, you can run it as a script and then push it into the background with a nohup, and it will work. But you have to have separate instances running of it with different config files if you want multiple radios. There's no way to kind of init script it or put it into a systemd module or anything like that. It doesn't actually work properly because, as I mentioned in the last episode, if you're operating on VFOB, it doesn't handle that properly. At least on my rig, some might be fine. And I think there's just a lot of stuff missing. So the fact that I just said I feel like there's a lot of stuff missing will give you a tip off to the fact that I am rewriting it.
Ooh, awesome.
I've actually started rewriting it. I've got the basic daemon code already built. I've got it set up with signal handlers and the nice thing about it is because it's going to interface with, at least to begin with, Rig Control and Rig Control G from Hamlib, getting the commands into and out of, and the connector into the Wavelog API is going to be pretty simple. So there really shouldn't be all that much development involved, but like I said, eventually it'll be something where you'll just be able to get it from a Git repo, or hopefully eventually from an AUR or, you know, another distributions software center or whatever. And at that point, you'll just be able to have a single configuration file, which will handle however many radios you've got running. It will fork into however many daemons it needs to connect to all those rigs. And of course, you'll be able to configure it to connect to Wavelog or CloudLog, whichever it is, because the APIs are the same. And then it'll just be something that you can put into a startup script or into systemd, so it will start at boot. And you'll have a nice connector for all your rigs into CloudLog or Wavelog for your, you know, logging needs. So I'm hoping, I mean, I do have a lot of irons in the fire, so I'm kind of putting this for like a end of 2024 release kind of thing for like a beta. And hopefully we'll see where it goes from there.
So what are you writing it in, language-wise?
I'm going to write it in PHP. I may not do that. It's either going to be PHP or Python. I know which one most developers would say I should use, but I also know which one I know better. So it may actually be both. It may be a case of I take the PHP and do all the PHP coding and then convert it into Python, just because it'll probably be easier for me to do it that way. And but one way or the other, it's going to get out there.
Yeah, I've never ran a command line version of PHP, so
should be, well, it won't be any different than anything else. It'll be included as a executable, basically, that you'll just be able to throw into a systemd module, and it will just start up and run like a normal script. So it will be kind of transparent to the fact that it's running PHP.
So it'll be compiled.
Yeah, it won't be compiled necessarily, although PHP can be compiled. I'm going to worry about that after I get it working.
Oh, okay, cool.
So there's that. And of course, it will be up on GitHub. It'll be released under GPL v2 or 3 or 2 plus or something. I don't know. I'll figure out whatever the license is. But it will be open source, will be copyleft, and it will be freely available for anybody who wants to use it. So there you go.
Awesome.
And finally, we have one announcement. And that announcement we kind of alluded to earlier in the show is that there will be a break in episodes after the next one. So episode 558, which will be a deep dive, is going to be delayed until October 13th, because after next weekend, Cheryl and I will be traveling for two consecutive weekends. So next weekend, we will have a weekender per usual. Then there will be a two-week break, and then we'll come back with a deep dive. So just want to let everybody know that, so they're not expecting a show on September 29th and October 6th, because there will not be one. So enjoy those 2 weeks, and we'll talk to you all after that.
Yeah.
So with that, I guess the list of subscribers, supporters, and live participants is not very big. So I guess I'll just hit it here real hard. For subscribers, don't laugh at me. For subscribers and Patreons, we have Fabian, HB9HIL. Does that call sign sound familiar at all to you?
Yeah, I think he just talked to us and thanked us for doing the show on Wavelog.
Yes, he is chat. One of the primary developers of Wavelog, and he signed up and is now one of our Patreon supporters, or not Patreon, awesome. Sorry, PayPal supporters. But yeah, thanks, Fabian. We really appreciate your patronage, and hopefully my connector for rig control will do right by Wavelog. So we had no one join us on Facebook. HB9HIL, Fabian joined us on Twitter as well. No one on Instagram. On Mastodon, we had DX Joan. No one on YouTube, and on Discord, we had MCX Adventure, Zastles, and Mini Cow Man. No one joined us on the mailing list, and we only had one person join us in the live chat, and he's probably like thinking, wait, the show's already over? But that's Don KB2YSI, because as it happens, we started on time. Shocker of shockers. So sorry, Don, that you got here like 5 minutes before we were done. But you can, of course, hear the rest of the episode when it gets released. So I guess we're going to go ahead and wrap it up unless you've got any closing comments.
No. I think we're good. I just saw a bunch of stuff just get pasted in here, though. That's
yep. And we're gonna read this like it happened before I read the outro. So
okay,
Cheryl meant to do this last time, and she just threw it in here. So hopefully this will make some kind of sense with what's pasted in here. So, so as a last second addition to our announcements and feedback, we do have an announcement that came from Cheryl here. She just pasted it in the Etherpad, and this is something she's been talking to the group about, and apparently the coordinator lives not too far from us in Russellville, Arkansas. So this is a thing where they're trying to get QSL cards and ham radio related stuff sent to people in, is it Brazil? I think it's Brazil. Let me try and read this, and hopefully, yeah, it's Brazil right there at the top. So let me read this and hopefully it will make some kind of sense. A scout group in Brazil, I think this came from Facebook, by the way. A scout group in Brazil wanting QSL card and trinkets. I hope you and your family are well. This is a post from Ednois, PY2SKY. He's an amateur radio in Brazil and his call sign is PY2SKY. As it just said, here in my city, I am part of a group of young scouts. They are boys and girls from 14 to 15 years old. They have a cool project. We teach our hobby to the young scouts and prepare them to obtain an amateur radio license. Sounds like something Bill does. Our Boy Scouts are setting up a large display panel with a QSL card from radio stations in Brazil and other countries. If possible, we would like to receive a copy of your QSL card or a postcard from your city and country. This card will have no value as confirmation of contact, but as a collection item. It would be an honor for us to be able to display a QSL card from your station. For our young people, this exchange of culture is very important. They love it when an envelope with a postage stamp from other countries arrives. Envelope? Postage stamp? What are those things?
Which thing?
Envelopes and postage stamps? What are those?
Yeah, exactly.
collectible gifts about your city are welcome. Stamps, postcards, stickers, patches, tour guides, flags, pamphlets, coins, or other souvenirs. We look forward to your correspondence. We hope to find you soon in the ham radio bands in better propagation conditions. If you are a Boy Scout or have already been part of the World Scout Movement, then you are our brother scout. Big hug, he says, from the Scouts of Brazil. Health, peace, and good DX, 73. So there you go. That will be in the show notes. I think we'll have a link to like where you can find it on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So just wanted to throw that in there. And if you want to participate, there you go.
Very cool.
All right, so I don't remember if we hit the fact that Don KBTYSI was the last person standing.
Yes. In the show tonight.
All right, well, very good. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up then. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. Thanks to all of our supporters who help us keep the lights on. We appreciate you very much. Stay tuned for the Weekender coming up in the next episode. And then, of course, we'll have our little break and then a deep dive after that. We look forward to, talking to you all again soon. And have a great rest of your week. This has been episode number 556 of Linux in the Ham Shack. And for the on assignment, Cheryl, W5MOO, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/lhspodcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1-909-547-7469. That's 1909 LHS Show. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.